Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. We are in our Easter sermon series yet, because it's still Easter season. And to do that this morning, we're talking about resurrection revolution, just with this idea that to live out the resurrection of Christ is a revolutionary thing. And so to look at that, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 5 and look at 1 to 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and the blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Gracious and loving God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so today, for the resurrection revolution idea, we're looking at radical love. I want to look at a radical understanding of love. And by radical, I'm tapping into the revolutionary theme, because by radical, I mean something that is extreme. I mean something that moves towards a fundamental change in the way we tend to understand love today. Radical love, something fundamentally changed. It's extremist, it's revolutionary, it's fanatical. Sometimes people say, you know, religion's okay, but we need fewer religious extremists. And I would argue we need more Christian extremists, because Christian extremists are people who would be more and more like Jesus, and that would be a good thing for the world. In fact, what we need are fewer people who use Christianity as an excuse to do whatever the heck they want. Those are not extremists. Those are people who are just being human. What we need are more people who are radical in their love and radical in their following of Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about this radical love. And to do that, I want to highlight just 2 points about this radical love. And the first one is that radical love is a love for all of God's children. This is covered in verses 1 and 2 mostly. But radical love is for all of God's children. And radical love is a choice and an action, not a feeling or an emotion. So we're going to look at those two aspects of what it means to have radical love and to live in this way. So first one, radical love is a love for all of God's children. And to do this, I want to examine the thought flow that we find in verse 1 and just kind of look at the logical progression of things. The verse in verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God. So who's a child of God? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Messiah is a child of God. So that includes everybody. So, and then the second thing is, if you love the parent, then you love the child. If you love the parent, you love the child. So to rephrase that a little bit, with God in there as the parent, if you love God, then you love God's children. So here we are. If you love God, you love God's children. We've had God's children defined in step one, so let's plug that in. Therefore, if you love God, then you must love everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, because that's what it means to be a child of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're a child of God. And so if you love the parent, you love the child. If you love God, you must love everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. The command then is to love all fellow believers. That's the command. It's found elsewhere, by the way. 1 John 4:21, which is right before the section that we read today, says this: "The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." Or in John 15:12 that you heard read earlier from the gospel reading, says this: "This is my commandment," Jesus says, "this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's an old praise song, right? "This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full." Right? Hey. Just let him keep going. He'll wear out eventually. Yeah. We also find the command in John 13, where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, you should love one another as I have loved you." John 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. John 13, where Jesus says, "Judas, I don't love you. Get out of here. You're going to betray me." And then he washes feet, right? Is that how that went?
No.
Where Jesus washes even Judas's feet. John 13, Jesus says, "This is a commandment, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you." This means that we are commanded by Christ to love one another. If you are not loving a brother or a sister in Christ, then you are disobeying Jesus. So this is a challenge. This is a challenge. It's a difficult thing because relationships, like in theory, or when we think, oh yeah, we can love people, but the thing is, when we're in relationships with people we actually know, it becomes a challenge. Like when we're in relationships with people, like in your own church, can be a challenge. Because let's be honest, people are a great idea in theory. But in reality, we tend to fall short, don't we? And so you kind of find where the rubber meets the road. Thinking about that, this is since, you know, I don't know if I've shared this. I'm new here. I'm still in my first year here, and I'm fairly new and experiencing things for the first time. This is my first time ever experiencing St. John's Garbage on the Lawn Week. So that's kind of fun. I just drove through town. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? There's all sorts of stuff all over. This is a good time. And it's fascinating. I mean, suddenly, you're like, everything's okay. And then in a day or two, we've got stuff all over the place, large piles of junk outside everyone's house, which I think is a perfect picture of us. We can manicure our lawns, we can trim and paint our houses, but all of us have some varying degree of junk hidden away, don't we? And at some point, if you're in community long enough, at some point the junk comes out, doesn't it? At some point, the junk gets set on the curb for all of us to experience together. And let's be honest, some people's junk doesn't bug us so much. Other people's junk does. And a lot of times that has more to do with us, to be honest with you, than other things. But that's the case. And let's be honest, sometimes people take their junk out and set it on your lawn, don't they? But that's community. That's where stuff gets real, isn't it? Like if you want to talk about loving people, I tell premarital couples when they're counseling, I say, you know, when somebody drives the Lexus in the driveway with the big bow on top and everybody's happy, well, big deal. Everybody can do that, right? But it's those times where the rubber meets the road, when we find out each other's junk. That's when you find out what love really is and how you're going to really be able to do it. Because Jesus doesn't make qualifications when he commands us to love each other. He doesn't say, just love the people whose junk doesn't bug you as much. We're told, if you love the parent, then you must love the child. Therefore, if you do not love some of God's children, then you are sinning directly against the commands of Jesus Christ. When you're acting out of your own hurt or your own desires against God's children, you are directly sinning against God. To make it more personal, if there are people in this very church that you withhold your love from, you are sinning. And if that doesn't challenge you, I don't know what will. And this is radical. This is what I mean by being radical and revolutionary. This is something that cuts against the grain. This is something that's different than the way things are around us. I was reading a statistic this week that suggested that our Facebook timeline, the way their algorithm works as far as what they put on your timeline, that actually works against having diversified opinions on your timeline. It cuts down so you see less people who starkly disagree with you on your timeline because of the way the algorithm works. Within our very own social media, we don't have the same exposure to people who think differently than we do. It's radical to love someone who's different than you and whose junk bugs you. Speaking of things that appear on a Facebook timeline, we're about to enter into a very exciting time in American life together called a presidential election cycle. Yes, isn't that exciting? I think this one may be the ugliest yet. And we did just do it, yeah. And it just keeps coming. But I think this one may be the ugliest yet. I think it may be filled with the most kind of vitriol and kind of hatred, and not from one politician to another, but from one citizen towards another. And I want you to think about that. That personal attacks, whether it's on another citizen or on a politician, that's not the way of Christ. So before you send that email, or before you post that thing on Facebook, we can't control everything, and we can't control how the conversation goes, but we can decide whether or not we're going to participate in tearing other people down. Okay? But the world around us is, it's radical love means to love everybody. And if you look at everything from how the news is reported to how social media works, the tendency for us is to cluster into like-minded groups, to love people that are like us, to love people whose garbage doesn't bother us as much. But Jesus said this, he said, "What good does it do you if you only love your friends? What good does it do you if you only love people who love you?" Even the sinners and tax collectors do that, right? What good is it to, who can, okay, so you can love people that you really like. Well, to quote Garfield, big fat hairy deal. This is how cutting edge I am. I'm quoting Garfield, right? This is the hip pastor who's on top of it. He puts up 80s cartoon comic strips on it. But yeah, if you love people that you like, everybody does that. There's nothing radical about that. There's nothing revolutionary about that. That's just the way people work. If you want to look different, if you want to do something really revolutionary, love people who are different than you are. Next thing is this. Radical love is an action or a choice, not a feeling or an emotion. Radical love is an action or a choice, not a feeling or emotion. So then we've got to ask ourselves, so what is love? So what is love? And I was thinking, just kept thinking, and the song kept going through my head, and then hopefully some of you at least know what that's all about. But and now you'll have that song in your head. So what is love? If you remember from verse 1 that we looked at, that the love of others is connected to our love of God. If you love the parent, you love the child. So our love of others is connected to our love of God. And then in verse 2, we see this. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So again, the love of others is connected to our love of God, but it's also connected to obeying commandments. So it means that the love of others in the Christian sense is defined by two things. First, our love of others is connected to how we love God, which may seem kind of counterintuitive. Like, well, if you're talking about loving others, why does God get in the way first? Well, no, actually, it's the love of God which shapes how we love other people. So the love of others is connected to our love of God. And second, then since it's got this whole following God's commandments in there, love is by our choices and our actions. Love is something we show by our choices and the actions. It's the things that we do, the choices we make. And so if you look at the commandments that God gives, the commandments that we have that involve our relationship with others, we have things like honor your father and your mother, shall not murder. And by the way, Jesus said, can you murder someone in your heart? The answer is yes. So Jesus said, can you murder someone in your heart? Yes. Yeah. he said not to commit adultery. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't commit adultery. By the way, Jesus said you can lust after someone in your heart and it's committing adultery, didn't he? By the way, I think our economy would collapse without lust. And I'm not just throwing that out there. Think about what that means. I think our economy would collapse without lust. Another, some more commands. We ought not to steal. We ought not to bear false witness against others. We ought not to covet our neighbor's stuff and be jealous. Again, I think our economy would collapse without covetousness, wouldn't it? If commercials couldn't get you to covet, then what would they do? This means that I think our economy would collapse if it wasn't breaking two of the Ten Commandments right off the bat. That's insane. It should really bother us. Other commands. Love is played out in how we treat the widow and the orphan among us. Love is played out in how we work towards justice with each other and for each other. Jesus loved people by healing them. Jesus loved by offering reconciliation, by eating with people, by challenging those who were not following God. Jesus loved by serving others. In fact, serving others to the point of death, Jesus gave his own life. And Jesus loved others by praying for the very people who were killing him. As they pounded the nails into him, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So when we start to think about what it means to love, and what is love? If we want to truly love, we ought to be asking, how did Jesus love others? What did that look like? What did that entail? And then to love as Jesus loved. So by the way, this is radical and revolutionary. To say that love is doing and choosing, to say that stuff is revolutionary. Because a lot of times I think when we talk about love culturally, it's very different. It seems that we're talking almost entirely about some sort of emotional feeling, like a warm, fuzzy thing in your belly when it does flippy flops, right? Like when I say, well, I love him or I love her, or whatever, it's just this purely emotional thing. It's almost like it's almost like a virus you might catch, right? Oh, I fell in love with her. I can't believe it. Either that or the Mexican that I ate is not agreeing with me. I don't know. I'm in love. Right? And when love is just this feeling or this emotion, then that's broken in two ways. The first way it's broken is this. It's temporary. Feelings pass. Your mood is changed if you walk outside and it's a bright, sunshiny day. That's not love. Right? I mean, that's terrifying. Because you might wake up in the morning and decide you don't love the person you're with. Because for whatever reason, the mood has passed. So the first thing is it's temporary. The second problem is that it's all about me. I love people who make me feel good. I love you when I'm in a good mood. I love you when you give me the attention that I want. And then love all of a sudden just becomes something that's me-centered instead of about wanting the other person or something that's for the other person. In contrast, the love of Christ is about what you choose even in those instances where you don't feel like it, and even to those people that make you feel bad. Because it's not about you, it's about what's best for the other person. Love is desiring the best for the other person. Love is Jesus washing Judas's feet right before Judas betrays him. Love is Jesus praying for those people who are nailing his hands and his feet to the cross. Love is Jesus dying for you and for me on the cross. Praise God that Jesus didn't wait till he had warm fuzzies about us before he loved us. Scripture says, and we know, this is how we know God's love for us, that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Right? In those times where when we live lives actively rebelling against God, but God says, I love you. And that love is displayed in the gift of his Son for us. That's love. That's love. Not some changing emotion. Not some passing mood. That's love. So living out the resurrection leads us to some very revolutionary ways to live. Today's scripture calls us to a radical love that's for all of God's children, and calls us to a love that's not about how we feel, but instead about obeying God's commands on our lives, the things that we choose to do. And the reality is this: you and I do not have the power within us to live this way that's against the grain of the culture. We can't do this on our own, because the fact of the matter is this: you and I are the culture. We are broken sinners. We have this problem. And so we can't fix this on our own. But there is one who actually did live out this radical love. There is one who did love perfectly. There is one who demonstrated what it meant to love God perfectly and follow his commands. Where our love is incomplete, Jesus is perfect. So today, I'm calling for all of us to turn to the one who is perfect in love, Jesus Christ. So it's Christ's love that fills our hearts, that it's the love of Christ that is the thing that shapes us, and that it's the love of Christ that fills us up to overflowing and spills out onto other people. See, we can't change things ourselves, but the love of Christ in us can affect those around us. It's not something that I can decide I'm going to do, but I can receive the love of Christ and then share that love with others. There is one who did it perfect, and we're called to be united to him in faith, to be part of the body of Christ, doing the ministry of Christ today. And I'll tell you what, church, if we were to love people this way, if we were to love all of God's children, regardless of whether we like their garbage or not, and if we were to love not by feeling, but by following the commands of God and the choices we make, if we were to love in this way, it would be a revolution. It'd be a revolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.